Awesome. Well, welcome to Rev City Church. My name is Pastor Eli, and I'm an associate pastor here. Pastor Thomas is getting to rest and enjoy a weekend with his family in Branson. I guess I'm an associate pastor for about five more days, which is crazy to think about. I'm flying out to Alabama on Friday this week, and then I'll be back on the 13th. For about 4 or 5 days with my family, and then we're gonna. So I'll be here June 17th. And that'll be kind of our reception Sunday. So this is a pretty crazy day for me, and I hope I can keep myself focused and keep myself together, because it's just a lot to think about, a lot going on in our life. So pray for us if you can. You can think about it, and just really want to just convey what God's put on my heart, what He's stirring. It's really what He's stirring in my heart. What I want to share with you today is something that He is walking us through, that we're living, and that we're trying to be an example of, and just be obedient, and that is learning to be led. Learning to be led by the Lord. Learning to be led by the Holy Spirit and go where He goes and do what He calls you to do. And Pastor Thomas began the message last week without thinking about it, just by talking about how to hear God's voice. Because how many of you guys know, if we can't really go anywhere, the Lord tells us to go unless we know He's talking to us and telling us to go. Right? We have to be able to hear His voice to know where He's leading it. And Pastor Thomas shared out of John 10:27 last week, and he said, my sheep listen to my voice, and they follow because they know my voice. And it's so important for us to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, because relationship only happens when there's communication, right? If there's no communication between a husband and wife, there's really, relationship breaks down very, very quickly, doesn't it? And it's the same in our relationship with God. If we don't have communication, if we haven't learned how to hear His voice, we have a very difficult time following the voice of God and doing what He's called us to do. So last week, He talked about how our perspective of God affects how we relate to God, how we relate to God affects how we hear God. We have to have a right perspective of God. We have to trust Him as our shepherd, as our guide, as the one who truly, when He says, I know the plans I have for you, He means it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. Let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart, God knows the plans He has for you, and He's not trying to keep them a secret from you. I feel like sometimes we think God's pulling out on us, but I think if His thoughts about you and I are greater than the sand on the seashore, I think He wants to share those with you. I think He wants to tell you His plan. I think He's communicating to us far more than we realize, and some of it is our posture of how we see Him as distant or as judge instead of a father, so we have a hard time receiving His guidance and trusting where He's leading us. And it's a struggle. So many Christians are trying to learn, I want to know God's will for my life, but I can't figure it out. So we're stuck. And we wander so often through life, just kind of hoping God's leading us, and kind of bumping into walls or feel like we're walking off cliffs sometimes because we don't know what God's doing. God, what are you up to? Is that true? Have you ever experienced that? I've experienced that. Like, just trying to figure out what's God's will. What's His will for my life? He says He knows the plans that happen. He asked me, I wanted to share them with Him. How many of you guys say amen? Amen. You're like, God, I know your plans are good. I believe that verse. They're for good, not for disaster, for a future and a hope. How do I know them? How do I learn to be led by the Lord and know those plans for my life? That's what I want to talk about today. It's pretty clear. We can't see God. So we have to learn how to be led through other ways. It'd be really nice if Jesus was standing here and He's like, all right, here I am. Hold my hand and let's just walk. If it was physical, life would be a lot easier, right? I mean, I kind of envy the disciples sometimes because Jesus was there. And then they followed Him. That sounds pretty simple, right? Like it's pretty simple. But we have to learn how to be sheep. How to trust and how to follow the voice of the Lord. And I want to give you a few simple reminders of how to hear God's voice. And then kind of walk through how to be led in that voice. So I believe God speaks a lot through gentle promptings and nudgings in our hearts. It's like these subtle interruptions to our thought process and to our day. And oftentimes we think they're distractions, but it's really God's leading, right? Because we got a plan for our day. We got a schedule, we got a to-do list, we need to cross things off, and oftentimes I believe God's speaking, but maybe we're going a little too fast, and we're kind of on our own train of thought. And that train of thought, you know, a train, I love that statement, is pretty clear, because a train's on tracks. It's not going to go right or left, is it? It's going where it's going, on the tracks. It's a train of thought. God might not always be on the train. Where, you know, I believe God leads us, but he says people of the Spirit are like the wind. Wind's a little bit less predictable than the train. But how many of you guys like predictability? We like to have a little bit of control to know what's coming next. Yeah? And Jesus said this thing. He said, you know, birds of the air have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That's not too fun for some of us who like the security, the control, and the comfort of our own way, right? God's calling us. You know, and I believe he speaks through several areas, lots of things. He can speak any way he wants. I mean, he spoke through a donkey, right? He spoke through a donkey. So, but I believe that some of the three main ways I want to just kind of set this groundwork, he speaks through his word primarily. Nothing he's going to say is going to contradict his word. So we got to know it. We got to be in it. We got to let his word be living and active in our lives. And rightly divide the word of truth. Spend time to know, to chew on it, to let God direct us through his word. The second area he speaks a lot is through others. Whether that's a sermon, whether that's a worship song, whether that's a friend who just gives you a word from the Lord. That's it. The Bible says, hold on to those and test them with my word. And another way he speaks is through circumstances. He'll lead you because of something that, kind of a dead end, a closed door for a job, or an open door, right? Can I say, I feel like through circumstances, God wants to speak to us first through his word, not first through circumstances. But I think a lot of us allow circumstances, like almost like this fate mentality for God's will, far more often than we allow the word of God to speak to us. And I think that order right there is so important. Let God speak to you through the word, then through others, then through circumstances. Instead of the other way around, where we're kind of bumping around life through circumstances and hoping God's leading us. I believe if the people of God were led by his word more, we'd have a lot less bruised foreheads and hitting walls. I'm saying that about myself too, because I do the same thing. I'm kind of the person that I act before I think sometimes. I shoot ain't ready. So I shoot and then I'm like, I wonder if I hit the right target. You know, like, I almost one time, but this is totally a sidetrack, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was hunting on Chief Noe's land. And this is one of the times I'm very thankful I wasn't a shooting ready person, because I pulled up, it was snowing, hadn't seen a deer all day. I pulled up and I see these horns coming through the woods, and I was like, oh, you know, and everything in the woods looks like a deer when you're hunting. You've been out there for 3 hours. And this was a great big heifer, one of Keith's cows in the woods, and my finger was just twitching on that trigger, and there was a centimeter between me paying a lot of money for a very expensive, not deer, you know. So I at that moment I paused. The Holy Spirit paused me long enough to avoid regret. I don't think you've ever heard that story, but he just heard it in church. We're called to be led by the Lord to respond to his promptings. And, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend. One of the things I started thinking about is what makes a great soldier. You know, there's the story of the centurion in the Bible, and he comes up to Jesus and he said, just say the word, my servant will be healed, because he understood something. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I have people under me. And I believe a great soldier starts with someone who knows how to be under authority. They know how to be led, and how to follow the voice of their commanding officer. And I believe that's what we're called to be as Christians, is to trust fully our shepherd. To trust our commanding officer, to believe him at his word and go do it. Run wherever he calls us to go. Do anything he calls us to do, because we know he can be trustworthy because he cares for us. We're not just part of a machine. We're sons and daughters of God, and he's calling us to join him in his work. And we have to learn to be led. We have to learn to be led and lay down our will. And that's what I want to talk about today, learning to be led. And the key verse that I want to dive into is Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14 in the New Living Translation says this: for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That's it. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I believe God's calling every single Christian to be led by the Spirit, not just the pastors, not just the missionaries, not just the worship leader. Every one of us is called to be led by the Spirit in all of life, every area of life, to seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added unto you. That's the definition of the Christian life, to be led by the Spirit and to be called a child of God. Now, I think you have to know and trust the Heavenly Father. You have to know that He's the one that's with you. And I believe one of the biggest issues in the church is that we don't really trust. We have this orphan mentality when it comes to our life. I want to define this. So you have to know you're a child of God in order to trust Him and be led by Him. You have to know He's trying to lead you as a child, not as a part of a machine. He's not just barking orders from heaven. He's calling you as a son or daughter to join Him in His work. And I want to define a couple things. I think many of us as Christians live an orphan life rather than a son or daughter life. What does an orphan do? An orphan is fighting for survival. An orphan is looking out for numero uno. Nobody else is looking out for me. Nobody else is watching out for me. I got to take care of myself. So reflect this on your life and your relationship with God and how you walk out. Fighting for survival. Looking after number one. Fighting to get on top so no one else has power over you. They got to get to the top of the pecking order so they're not bullied, so they can have some respect in the streets, so they can make their own way. So we have this comparison that we're constantly fighting and putting others down or trying to compare ourselves. That's the orphan mentality. Fourth thing, not trusting anyone. Can't trust anybody. Nobody out there is trustworthy, especially in the church. I've been hurt before by them. Orphan mentality. Worried about your next meal and where that will come from. Worried about tomorrow. Worried about the what ifs of life. What if this? What if that, God? What if this happens? What if we don't have enough money? What if someone gets sick? The what ifs of life. An orphan mentality. You don't trust the Father to look after you. And the final one is unsure of what the future will be. You're just living for today. You're just getting by. How many guys that have some of those, maybe not all of them, some of those have related to how you've walked your Christian life at times, just getting by, surviving, looking out for number one, or trying to figure out how, not trusting people, getting hurt by someone and pulling back. That's the orphan mentality. God's calling us to learn how to be children. What does a child, what does a son or daughter do? Listen to this. And you know, I believe we were talking about this earlier. One of the reasons the enemy attacks families so much is if he can attack family, he can skew our paradigm of how to follow God. If you don't know what a good father looks like on earth, it's really difficult to follow God and trust Him to be a good father. If you don't know how proper brother and sister relationships would happen, it's really difficult to interact in a church and trust people because you were bullied by your older brother or sister, or because you didn't have anybody that you could really trust. People put you down all the time. A son or daughter in the kingdom of God and His perfect family feels secure, completely secure. You have all that you need. The Bible says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. You know, when my three-year-old son does not worry about his life. He doesn't worry about whether he's going to be okay. He knows his daddy is going to watch out for him. And they feel secure. They don't need to fight their own battles because they know their daddy's going to fight for them. All they got to do is cry out, Daddy! And I'll come, whether it's to help him out, when he's stuck in the yard, or whether he needs his bottom wipe, I'm going to come. I'm there for him. I don't care. I will do the dirty work because I love him. But he calls out and his daddy's coming. He's secure. He doesn't have to fight the battles. He sees a big dog. What does he do? He climbs right up. Even a little dog. He's a little bit nervous about dogs. So, the dog's, that tiny. He's, he runs to daddy because he's secure. His daddy's arms. They fully trust. They're not worried about the next meal. My kids never come to me like, Dad, I don't know. Are we going to eat tonight? I don't know. I'm really worried. Are we going to have enough food the next week? They just know somehow chocolate chips are going to show up in the pantry. They can eat like 6 boxes in those a week. We go through 7 gallons of milk a week, and that milk just magically appears in the refrigerator. It's amazing, but they don't worry about it. Unless it's not there, then they're like, life is over, right? Because Dad didn't go buy milk. So, but But they're not worried about it. They just have this expectation, this trust that God's going to provide. You know, I believe as we're led by God, the first thing He's going to do, you ask God, oftentimes we ask God, God, what is Your will for my life? And you know what, as a good father, you know what He first starts to tell you? I love you. I'm proud of you. Like, oh, I know that, God, if you really know it. It's like, I love you. It's like, but what do you want me to do? I just want to be with you. Let's hang out. It's like, but God, I got things I got to do. I got answers. I need answers to these questions in my life. It's like, how about you just come? Let's go for a walk. And we kind of tend to want God to talk in the majors, but since we have so much of our own agenda, we're so busy, we have such an orphan mentality, we don't really believe that He just wants to be with you. That He doesn't only love you, He likes you. He likes you. He wants to be with you. He's so proud of you. Every time I try to sit down and journal, I'm like, God, and I'll write in my iPad, I'm like, God, what do you want to say to me? The first things that start coming up in my heart is, I love you, son. And He just keeps saying, like, I got it. But then after a little bit, it starts to sink in and really affect me. And I'm like, wow. God, You love me. I'm not a perfect dad, I'm not a perfect pastor, but You love me just the same. You love me when I mess up, when I skip a day and don't have a quiet time. You love me anyway. You're not like, where have you been? Like, oh, I'm so glad to see you. You got to be led, but you got to learn to hear His affirmation and hear. He's going to talk to you a lot more about who you are. If His thoughts about you are greater than the sand on the seashore, He's going to share those with you before He tells you what to do. Because He's not just a dad that's barking orders at us. Like, you know, my sons come to me, and if they say, Dad, I'm here, what do you want me to do? I'm like, what would I do? I could say, well, go mow the lawn. And they just think that I'm just here to tell them to do stuff. Or they could come up, and this is what I would love. Instead of, Dad, what do you want me to do? I was like, Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing? Can I do it with you? Yes, you can. Let's do it together. That's how the Father is with you. He's not trying to bark orders and tell you what to do on this earth. He wants you to come and say every day, say, Dad, what are you doing? What's Your will? What are you up to today? I want to be a part of it. You're fixing the car? Let's fix the car. You know, do it all up to the Lord. He's calling you. He's inviting you into His adventure. Not to just do His check off His to-do list on this earth. You're going to be led as a son or daughter, but you got to know you're a son or daughter. He's not trying to use you. He's not trying to get something out of you. He just wants to be with you. And in this amazing mystery that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of heaven and earth, wants to involve you in His work. He wants you to get your hands in there and get messy and mess up a little bit and try and put something and try and create things and try to step out and do things. And it's amazing, guys. And we mess up a lot. We make a lot of messes. It's a lot harder to cook when you got 3-year-olds and 6-year-olds helping you. Ask my wife. It's a lot. They go in the dining room. They push the chair all the way in. And I'm just thinking about the floor, right? Like, oh. The dragon on the floor, you know, the chair that he's pushing. They push up the stove. Banging the stove. And they hop up there, and they're like right there in front of the fire and the heat. And like, I want to help. And we're like, ah! You know? How many have ever experienced that? No? And part of me, I'm not always as patient because I want to get things done. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm like, no, just go out. Just go outside. Go do something. And Lisa is so patient. She's like, it's okay. Like, they try and dump the pudding into the pan, and half of it goes on the stove, the powder, you know? So it's okay. And then I'm over there like, we're trying to sell our house. We got sticky floors. We have to mop this thing like every 5 minutes. And but we got to be patient. Amen. Preaching to myself today. All right. That just got too real. Let's move on. All right. A couple of steps that I believe God wants us to learn to be led. Learn to be led. And the first one I believe that God wants us to learn as we begin to know we're sons and daughters, first and foremost, is listen daily. Listen daily. First step to learning to be led by God is listen daily, not just in the big things. And a way to say that is not just crisis communication, but daily conversation. Not just crisis communication, but daily conversation. There's a verse the Lord's used in my life to speak this to me over and over again, is I tend to run through life. So I need to be reminded, and it's Psalm 32:8-9. I may have shared this with you in the past, but it's a good one to remember, especially in the pace of life that we live in America. Psalm 32:8-9 says this, in the NIV, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. But don't be like a horse or the mule, which have no understanding and must be controlled by a bit or bridle, or they will not come to you." God's calling us to want to be led freely. Now, I believe he's a good shepherd, and he wants us to follow his voice, but he also has a rod for when his sheep get off. And he hooks you, and that's loving too, pulls you away from a cliff. And sometimes he's going to bit and bridle you because he loves you, and he knows where you're going is not good. And it's not going to feel good having a bit or bridle around. Imagine that. Your will is just being pulled. You don't want to go that way, but you're being pulled. I believe sometimes God does that just to show us, no, I love you enough to bridle you if you're not going to follow me freely. Because that way is death. That way leads to death. There's a cliff out there. But I believe his will, his desire is for us to know his voice and follow freely. I'm going to give you an example. When I was working for Kohl's, right before I became a pastor, I was working for Kohl's, and life was going good. I left a job, and I got promoted. I was running the store in Topeka, and I was in St. Louis for training. And man, it was like I was living life. I had per diem, and any guy knows that when you have free money to spend on food, life is good. Every morning I got Starbucks, and then I got this, and it's this per diem, use it or lose it, right? So I was doing good. I was eating. One night, I was out there doing training, just feeling good about life. God had blessed me. And I felt like the Holy Spirit telling me, I just want to hang out with you tonight. Just kind of drawing me, just a gentle drawing, to just hang out with him that evening. There's nothing to do in the evenings when I was in training in a hotel. So I was like, yeah, that's good. But I really wanted to watch this movie, right? So I wrestled there for a minute while I'm eating my pizza, and then I just turned on the movie. Watched this movie, and it was a complete waste of 2 hours of my life. Have you ever watched a movie like that? You're like, man, if I could just have those 2 hours back, I would do that so differently, right? I could have got so much done with that 2 hours. So it was a waste of, it was kind of that kind of movie. Now, nothing bad about the movie, but just a waste of time. And I got done, I opened my Bible, and that's the verse I opened to, Psalm 32:8. And he said, "I will instruct you, but don't be like me. Don't wait till it has to be hard to follow me. Follow me when things are good. Follow me freely. Follow me when you aren't in crisis. Not crisis communication, just daily conversation. I just want to be with you." And it struck me so hard that night that I just wept. I'd lost 2 hours I could have hung out with my Heavenly Father who wanted to talk to me, wanted to fill me with his love, wanted to restore me and remind me who I am. And I missed it. Yo, I don't get that time back. Now, I love it what it says in the Message. He says, "Let me give you some good advice." Same verse. "I'm looking you in the eye and giving it to you straight." That's what it says. "But don't be ornery like a horse or a mule that needs a bit and bridle to stay on track." How many of you guys have been ornery before? How many of you guys know, I had a little brother who was ornery. And he was the fourth kid, so my mom was playing zone defense big time, right? And he would not stay with mom. Twice, I watched him run to the end of the pool, jump on the deep end, when he was 2 or 3 years old, just sink like a rock. And my mom would dive in with her clothes on, and I had to go down to the bottom and get her keys and her sunglasses and everything else that sunk when she went in after that ornery kid. And back then, there wasn't those really nice little monkey backpacks with the little tail that you hold on to for that kid, so you look really politically correct and you leashed your child. No, she just got a dog leash, and she hooked it on his belt loop right there because he was an ornery kid and he needed to be. So it was going to save his life because he jumped in the deep end twice. And God said, "Don't be like that. Don't make me hook a dog leash on your belt loop to get you to go where I want you to go." I mean, that's the truth. He wants us to be a son, not his dog. Not a horse, not a mule. He's wanting to lead us. Listen daily. I believe, and I've said this before to so many young people that I've met with, they're always asking, "God, what is your will for life? I just want to know God's will." The first question is, you really need to ask yourself, do you want to know anything God tells you this his will is? Are you willing to hear anything? We'll talk about that in a minute. But I always tell them, I said, if you listen and connect with God daily, you will not miss his greater plan for your life. That is true of all of us. If you choose to listen to God daily, hang out with Him every day, just get into the prayer closet, get away with Him, you will not miss the greater plans. You won't. He's a father. He would never be like, oops, you missed it. You were supposed to go over there. But you've been hanging out with God, connected to Him, abiding Him. He just says, seek first the kingdom of God. He'll give you all that stuff. A hope, a future, plans, food, a job, provide for you. But seek Him. Let Him be your father. You know, I heard a great man say in a sermon last week, he said, I would do what people often say. I would do what God told me to do if I knew it was God speaking. And I want to challenge you. I believe God speaks very often. But we feel like it's interrupting our life. And I believe that the things that hold us back the most are busyness, self-centeredness, and inconvenience. You know, I had a showing in my house the other day. I think it was Friday. I don't remember what day it was. And the guy ended up staying for like an hour and 15 minutes. And I was supposed to be somewhere. A baseball game or a lunch or something like that with my family. Right? Well, 30 minutes, my wife didn't know this, 30 minutes into it, this guy just starts telling me his life story. And that happens, it's just crazy. You hear, and he's just, and he's sobbing in my kitchen, talking about how his dad, I mean, this is real, how his dad abused him verbally and all these things, and I ended up, like, just ministering to him there. And that was an interruption to my life. I didn't need this, like, I was supposed to be showing him my house, right? He's, like, come, like, by my house, and I ended up, and it happened a while back with a guy washing our carpets in our room, and he ends up crying, and I end up praying for him. But if you're open, that does become an interruption. At first, I thought it was an interruption. I'm like, this guy just keeps going on and on about his life. And all of a sudden, he starts crying. I'm like, oh, God, you want me to do something? Oh, I get it now. Hey, there's a 65-year-old man crying in my kitchen that I don't know. I mean, okay, I get it now. But he throws me softballs sometimes because I don't get it when it's a basketball. It's past me, loops. You know, so we got to be willing to hear anything he says and not push it down, not shove it aside. Because usually when God speaks, gets us a little uncomfortable. Usually it takes us to step out in faith. Usually it causes us to be selfless rather than selfish. That true? We're going to talk. There you go. Listen, the next one, the next step. Listen daily is the first one. The next step I want to share is listen completely. Listen completely. Wait long enough to hear everything he wants to say to you. Don't do a 5-minute flyby in the morning and say, all right, I got it. I did my daily verse, I highlighted it, I made it a little meme so I can stick it on my Facebook page so everyone can see that I'm super spiritual, and I'm good. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, we have to spend time. If I had a 5-minute flyby every single day with my wife and never did anything else, what would our relationship look like? Shallow. I wouldn't hear what he's wanting me to say. I wouldn't abide with him. I wouldn't know. And I believe a lot of what he wants to say, God has so much he wants to share with us, but we don't take the time. And I believe he wants to speak incredible things to us, but sometimes we don't have the capacity. We're not willing to step out in faith. You know, I believe some people have been talking about how we're moving to Alabama and all that stuff, and people say, oh, I can never do that. I can never do that. I'm not trying to say we're super spiritual or something like that. I'm just saying, like, if you say I can never do that, you probably never will. But if you're willing to hear anything God tells you to do and say, okay, Lord, if you want me to, that's really what we said. We're like, we're just two kids from Kansas. We don't know how to lead a church. But God, if you want me to, I'll do it. That's the call of every Christian, not just the pastor, it's all of us. His will for you is amazing. It's so good. Better than you can ask or imagine. He means that. It's not just for the select few. Every son or daughter is called to live an adventure of faith. Abraham was just a normal guy, sitting in his tent, worrying about whether he was going to have an heir, a son. Right? He said, I don't have any sons. I got all the stuff you give me, God. What good is it if I don't have anybody to pass it on to? God interrupts his life. In Genesis 15:5, he says this. He's sitting there in his tent. Abraham's in his tent. And he's just worried about, I don't have a son. I don't have an heir. My stuff's going to go to my servant. What am I going to do with my life? And God's so faithful. He comes in and he starts speaking to him and says, you're going to have a son. And he brought him outside. He brought him outside of his tent. His tent was this little tiny place. His paradigm was this little tiny room. And God said, this is my tent. Look at the stars and watch what I do. Watch what I'm going to do. See, look toward the heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. This is my tent. This is my plan. So much bigger than yours. And he says, then he said, so shall your offspring be. And what did Abraham do? I can never do that. No. But all he had to do was believe. Yes, Lord. I believe you. I trust you. He said, and he believed the Lord, Yahweh, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He didn't have to do anything. He just had to believe. And that's what God's calling you to do. Listen to everything he calls you to do. Get out of your world. Sometimes you got to step out and look at the stars. Think bigger. Allow it to be outside your box of what you think you can do and what you think you can accomplish. God's will is almost always going to require you to step beyond what you can do. If you've never done anything that if you've never stepped out of your Christian life to where you were going to fail if God didn't come through, we haven't really begun to live the adventure of faith that he has for every single one of us. He's calling you to step out and watch what he does. Step out of the boat. But don't allow it to be this selective listening, selective hearing, where you just hear what's inside your paradigm. God, I just want you to help me with my family. Help me deal with my day-to-day with this coworker. That's good, and he believes and he cares about those things, but allow him to speak anything. We have selective listening sometimes, you know, and it happens really well. Kids are a great example. You know, if I ask my kids to go brush your teeth, all of a sudden it's like their ears stop working. You know, go brush your teeth, hey, or it's time to turn off the video games. Something happens to their ears. They're downstairs, and I'm like, open the basement door. Hey, guys, time to turn off video games. Silence. I have four kids down there, four boys, and it just, they're like, if we pretend we're not here, maybe they'll forget that we're down here. Now, but I know that their ears aren't working because earlier that evening, Elisa could have been making cookies, and she's in the kitchen, and they're down the hall, down the stairs with the door closed, and she just says, cookies are ready. And they're in the kitchen so fast, like, wait a second, you can hear that, but you can't hear when I say turn off the video games. How many of us, when God calls us, actually it's true that I have this extra divine discernment, so I can sense the cookies are done before they get up there. So it's just a special thing you get as a dad, where that God gave me this amazing spiritual discernment called smell. And I just, like, before the troops, before the Philistines come up the stairs, I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to get my share of those cookies, or they're going to be gone. How many dads in the house, amen? You're like, you smell something, you just walk out like, honey, what's going on in here? And it's like, cookies. This is a spiritual moment, guys. Chocolate chip cookies, rush out of the oven. That is going to be in heaven on the feast table. I believe it. Amen? I want to challenge you. If something is hard to believe, and trust it to God and believe it. If something is hard or seems too big, receive it and just trust it to God. If he calls you, one of the things that God spoke to Elisa and I when we were 18 and 19, he said, I want you to be the father to many nations. He spoke to me out of that verse in Abraham and to Elisa separately. We weren't even dating. He spoke to her about being a mother to many nations, a spiritual mother, a spiritual father to many. And at that point, I was just an 18, 19-year-old kid. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, but I received it. I held on to it. I remembered it. And he's fulfilling it. He does it. You just got to believe. You just got to believe. The third one is, we've done listen daily. Listen completely. And this one, I had a different statement here, but then a wise woman, my sister-in-law, Adrienne Barclay, said this last night. Obey without delay. And of course, we were talking about our kids. Obey without delay. They were over our house. And I had a different word, but this is great. Obey without delay. What did Abraham do? A few chapters later in Genesis. It was Genesis 22. God called him to do the most difficult thing in his life. He says, come, go sacrifice your son. And you know, it's really easy, it's really fun to hear the promises of God when he says, I'm going to give you children as many as the sand of the seashores. But when God tells you to do something tough, if you haven't learned how to hear his voice daily, you're never going to receive it. And you know, when God began to speak to Elisa and I to step out and go, I would have never in my life until 2 months ago thought we were going to go to Alabama. Like, we were going to go to Honduras, and that seems closer and less far-fetched to me than Alabama. I never thought of it in my life. But if I had not been listening to God throughout the years, and not perfectly, but most of the time, setting my heart before the Lord daily, spending time in His presence, and in fact, it was in the worship service when I heard the Lord say, I'm preparing you to lead you out. I was just in His presence worshiping, and it interrupted my thought process, and I said, okay, that's the Lord. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that has to do. And then, so He spoke to me in that. He began to speak to me through His word. And then He spoke to me through a prophetic word. He does different things, and He's so gracious. And I shared, when I was sharing about us leaving, that God, I asked God, just keep speaking. I'm not testing you, but I just need to keep hearing you along the way. And He's faithful to do that. And remember, I told you guys, if you were here that day, I said, I prayed that prayer, God, keep speaking. And I opened my Bible, and this was the first thing He brought me to, was that Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you in the ways you go. I will counsel you my eye upon you. But don't be like a horse and mule that has to be brought to heaven. I'm like, okay, Lord. You spoke to me through that before, and I knew at that time I needed to continue to listen. I walked into our room, and I told you guys, I saw a card on Elisa's nightstand that said, be strong and courageous, I'm with you wherever you go. Okay, Lord, that's good. Then I walked in and took a shower, and I turned on my Spotify on random, and first song, the word said, you beckoned me to leave all that I know. And I'm like, whoa. I just started laughing because God's so faithful. If your heart is submitted, not to test Him, but to trust Him. Listen and obey without delay. So Abraham had this difficult thing, and God would call him to sacrifice them. So what did he do? He said, Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. God's calling us to obey and to really trust. Abraham knew God to be a good father. He knew God would be good. That was unshakable in his life. God is good and God loves me. God is good and God loves me. God is good and God loves me. That means anything He tells me to do, no matter how hard it sounds, it's going to be good. Because He's good and He loves me. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're His son, you're His daughter? He knows the plans He has for you. He cares about every detail of your life. And He is good and He loves you and He's for you right now. Do you believe it? I believe if you don't, if that's part of you to receive, He wants to convince you every day. Every day. Every day. I love you. I'm with you. I'm for you. And I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I've got you. You're in my arms. And it may feel really hard. Life might feel like a valley in the shadow of death, but God is with you. He is good and He's for you. Never forget that. He's a good father. The enemy's going to accuse God to you in the difficult times. He's going to accuse him. He's not really good. He doesn't really love you. He's holding out on you. He loves the pastor or he loves so-and-so more than you. Look at the size of their house. Come on. That's what the enemy does. He gets you to believe you're an orphan, not a son or daughter. Or he gets you to believe that he plays favorites in his family. And that you're not the best son or daughter. You're just kind of down there. You're included, but you're just kind of that leftover. You were a surprise. You were an accident. Those kind of words the enemy speaks over you. It's a lie. You were accepted. You were adopted. And He has amazing plans and purpose for your life. If you're willing to listen, receive it, and obey. Listen daily. Receive it, and obey. Can I get the worship team to come on up? I believe the Lord wants to minister this morning in a couple of really specific ways. By Isaiah, you know, we have this tendency in our hearts to wander. And I spoke to it a little bit at the end of the message when I said, you know, sometimes you find yourself far away from God, you didn't even realize you drifted. Sometimes it's an intentional move where you started to kind of dabble in sin and you get deeper and deeper and deeper through your own decision. And sometimes you just kind of get stuck. You kind of get stuck and you're just kind of going through the motions, but you're not connecting with God. And we're prone to wander like sheep. It says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's all of us, me, that's me included. I'm not the exception. Pastor Thomas is not the exception. The elder's not the exception. We've gone astray. And daily, we have to be brought back. We have to be connect with him again. He says, we have turned every one of us to his own way. It's not necessarily turning to some deep, dark sin, but it's turning to, Lord, I'm living for my will to be done and my kingdom to come, not yours. That's the difference between following the shepherd and following his voice and following our own way. God's calling you to trust him and say, God, every single day, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. There's a cost to that. You're laying down control. You're giving up your rights. You're giving up your right to this beautiful, whatever you think of as the perfect life. He's got a better one. You're giving up your right to be offended at people and allow them to have rejection that separates you from church because he's taken that offense upon himself at the cross. You're giving up your rights. You're saying, God, not my will, but yours be done. No matter what I've been through, I trust you. Today I trust you. Not just in the big grand scheme of things and in the crisis and in the battle. Where does a horse learn how to trust the voice of his master? Is it in the battlefield or is it in the stable? Is it in the quiet day-to-day where it's learning to trust the voice, or is it in the battlefield? But how many of us as Christians would wait till the battle to look to ask God what's going on? And we wonder why we get wounded. We wonder why we run into trials that maybe I don't think God intended for us sometimes. He wants you to trust him every day and lay down our will every day. We've gone astray like sheep. We've wandered into sin and the main thing I think Christians wander into is just controlling our own life, living for our own way. Come on, is that all of us? We live for our own way. And we run into challenges and we ask God why he did this to us. But he's calling us to trust him and to live for him, to live for him completely. Psalm 1 Peter 2:25 is with this. This is the last verse I'm going to share. Verse 25, 1 Peter 2:25. For you were straying like a sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. You were straying, but God's calling you to return. He's calling you and he's saying, my plans are still good. You've not messed them up to the point that I can't fix it. I'm with you, I'm for you, I know the plans I have for you, and I'm going to accomplish it, not you. I'm going to be the faithful one, not you. My heart is not too strong to save you, your family, your friends, to overcome that sickness, to overcome that stress, that depression. I am faithful, and I am able to accomplish what I've called you to do, and what I'm going to do in your life. I believe God wants to accomplish two things today. I believe he's calling some of us to repent of a wandering heart, of wandering in our own way. Just going our own way. We trust God, we believe him, we're going to go to heaven, but we're just doing things our own way. And we have to repent of a wandering heart. And the second thing I believe he wants to do, we're going to sing this song that says, lay it all down. And you lay down your way, you lay down your will, and then you say, whatever it takes, whatever the cost, I live for Jesus. To accept the call, he says, who will go for me? And you say, here I am. I want to be a sent one. Send me. I don't care if it's to Lawrence, Kansas, or Alabama, or the Philippines. Send me. It just brings to my work. But to be a sent one. Live for the kingdom, not for your own life. Not for this temporary time down on earth. Live for him. Send me, God. I want to live this life. I want to live every breath for your kingdom, for your glory, not for my will to be done. To accept the call to be a follower of Jesus. Go anywhere he calls you to go. The first place he's going to call you is to your family, to your day-to-day, and follow him. So I just want to ask you, during this song says, lay it all down. Lay it all down. Lay it all down. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, I live for one thing, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not Eli. It's not my kingdom. Even my family, I give it all to you, Jesus. There's a cost, but he wants it all because his way is better. When you lose your life, you find it. Church, we can do this. We can live this. So as we sing this song, if that's you, he's calling you to repent of wandering and to accept the challenge to live for him, then I want you to come up and lay it at the altar. Just worship up here before him and lay it all down. Say, whatever it takes, I live for you, Jesus. And some of you are sitting there saying, I don't know if I can commit to that. He's strong enough to fulfill it if you say yes, if you believe. Just believe.